Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined at Chesapeake Energy Arena by Joe Masato and Barry Trammell. After the Thunder's 140-111 win by a landslide over the Atlanta Hawks. Best offensive game of the season, granted against the worst team in the East, but some pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and finally a game where everyone in the arena, players, coaches, us, fans, can breathe a little bit in the fourth quarter. The Thunder put this one away, largest margin of victory, 140 points. And really, it was a pretty close game in the first half. The Thunder were not playing good defense at all. They really missed Steven Adams tonight in the paint. But in that third quarter, there was a two-minute stretch where the Thunder hit five straight threes. Everyone went crazy, and that was basically it for the Hawks.
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks stink on defense, but they still made 14 of 25 three-pointers. So, I mean, there's been games where they couldn't do that, you know, in warm-ups. So, you know, that's encouraging. Muscala shot well for the second straight game. Gallinari has continued to be hot. Schroeder. So, to me, that's very encouraging. It's not going to be – this is the easiest game of the year. You know, Atlanta in Oklahoma City. Because they've already had the Warriors, and the Warriors had a pulse when they came to town. And so they should win this game. They've had a they've had scarcity of blowouts, so it was good to have one.
Yeah, you had seven different players finishing in double digits. Gallinari led the way with 25, then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with 24, then Dennis Schroeder with 21, so three guys over 20, followed by Chris Paul with 18, Darius Bazley with 11. He was the one who scored the final point that got them over their previous season high in points, which had happened in an overtime game, fun fact. And then finally, Nerlens Noel with 10 points.
To me, the first half was most indicative of the balance. Thunder had 66 points at halftime. They had five guys that scored between 9 and 11 points. CP had 11, Gallinari and Noel 10 each, and then Schroeder and SGA 9 each. So that's outstanding balance. And you know, and then the second half, a couple guys kicked it into even higher gear. But that's the hallmark of this team, yeah, is you don't know who's going to lead the team in scoring. Or which two are going to lead it. I mean, we've seen a lot of Thunder years where one or, you know, the same two guys were the leading scorers for 2 months at a time. And now, night to night, it could be any one of four guys or on occasion five.
Yeah, and I think that closing stretch in the third quarter was indicative of that because, you know, you had Mike Muscala, he made two threes. You had Dennis Schroeder make two threes. You had Danilo Gallinari make a three. And they were sort of sharing that load. All of them were on fire at the end of that third quarter. And you look at the final stats, Gallinari was 4 of 6 from deep. Schroeder was 3 of 4. Muscala was 4 of 6. And Muscala stood out to me because the Thunder were, again, without Steven Adams because of that left ankle sprain. He had to play 20 minutes tonight. And in those, he shot 5 of 7, 4 of 6 from 3. He had 14 points, and he's now 8 of 10 for his last three-pointers. And 7 of those 8 threes have been assisted by Dennis Schroeder, his old Hawks teammate, now Thunder teammate. So pretty cool symmetry in this game.
Yeah, Nick Gallo, the Thunder sideline reporter, asked both Dennis Schroeder and Mike Muscala, or he at least asked Dennis Schroeder. Not sure. Well, Mike Muscala got asked the same question, but I'm not 100% sure if it was Nick. It might have been Paris. Either way, the team of Nick and Paris asked both Dennis and Mike if now Dennis owes Mike dinner. The conclusion was yes. But then they both went on to just go on glowingly about each other. It was Very nice.
Yeah, I feel like I've referenced this story so many times on the podcast, but you wrote at the beginning of the year about how they're best friends and stuff like that and how much it meant to Dennis to bring Mike aboard. And, like, you really saw that today. I mean, that assist number is kind of crazy how they've connected on those. And, yeah, I mean, there was a point in that third quarter stretch where, you know, the Hawks sideline is like, you've got Muskie. And it's like everyone's scrambling. Make sure someone's guarding Mike Muscala, who is shooting 31% coming into this game from three. So not something you see every day.
No. And then, you know, the whole concept of the passing – and the ball distribution. The Thunder had 28 assists. I don't think that's a season high, but that's a pretty high number. And nobody had more than eight. And that's, you know, to have a high – very few teams have high assist numbers without double-digit assist guys. I mean, the Hawks had a nice assist. They had 24 assists, but Trae Young had 16 of them. So the Thunder, whoever has the ball –
and that was a season high for him.
Yeah. So whoever has the ball is sharing it and throwing it around and – you know, Gallinari had three tonight. Muscala had two. Adams, when he plays, you know, has turned into quite the passer. So that's a hallmark of this team. Sort of fun after what we've seen all these years, and we saw it in come to fruition with 58% shooting tonight and 14-25 from 3-point range.
Nerlens Noel wasn't credited with any. But there was one where it must have gone down as a missed shot, but it kind of was like an alley-oop.
It was a missed shot.
It was an accidental alley-oop.
Oh, well, Mario, the PA guy, he did his best. I mean, he took about about 18, 20 footer. He clearly just missed the shot. and Diallo rebounded and put it in. And
airballed the shot.
Yeah, and on the Mario on the PA says. He says something like basket Diallo with whatever. Does he say assist or
he
whatever?
He says from
Nerlens. Well, it was from Nerlens. Use all ambiguity to your advantage, but that was not an assist.
Speaking of Nerlens, I thought he was fantastic, especially in that first half. And I'm talking on the defensive end, not offensively, because mention Adams was out. And as good as Muscala was on offense, he did not have a good game defensively, and the Hawks just went right at the Thunder, especially in the paint. In that third quarter, the Hawks, who have the 29th best offense in the league, second worst is how I should say this, they scored 30 points, they shot 57%, they had 16 points in the paint against the Thunder. There was just no rim protection out there, except for Nerlens Noel. So when he came out, it was like two different games, I thought, in the first half. Second half, I thought that was a little less glaring. And Billy Donovan sort of said as much after the game that he did not like the defense in the first half, but he thought it was much better in the second half.
Yeah. That. So on the negative side, defense did not pick up, and like you said, until later in the game. You can't go into a game against the worst team in the East and need a buzzer beater from Chris Paul to get you a 3-point lead at the end of the first quarter, especially after starting the game 10-2. So it was way closer for the whole, really through much of the third quarter than I expected.
You know, the Thunder actually played really good defense except on two guys. And John Collins was fantastic. They couldn't stop the Young to Collins deal. He made 13 of 16 shots. But the Thunder also, they let Cam Reddish look like an all-star.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes 7 of 11. He's 4 of 6 from 3-point range. This is not a good offensive player. Now, he might turn into one someday. But right now, he's not, but he looked it today.
Maybe he just needs to go to a Western Conference team so he plays the Thunder more often.
Yeah, maybe so. But now you guys sat different from where I sat. You were down on midcourt. I had trouble distinguishing between DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. Their body types are a lot alike. So I struggled with that all game. Is that true even if you're sitting closer?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar. Now, their games, well, at least what they were drafted for is totally different. I mean, DeAndre Hunter is supposed to be a lockdown defensive guy, coming out of Virginia, which they, as OU fans well know, play some of the best defense in the country. And then Reddish is interesting because he was, you know, third fiddle at Duke behind Zion and RJ Barrett. And he's taken a little while to get going, but they are similar, but this Hawks team, you look at the starting lineup, their oldest player is 22 years old. They're just, I mean, that's why they're so bad. They're just so young.
Well, Reddish, 29% shooter going into today, makes 4-6. So I got to thinking, you know, the Hawks want Steven Adams. The Hawks want Steven Adams. I don't think that's a secret anymore. Rayford Young even told me on the phone. He said, "I don't want to take anybody from the home team, but we need Steven Adams." That's Trey Young's father. And would you trade Steven Adams for DeAndre Hunter or Cam Reddish? That's my question if you're the Thunder.
Straight up?
Straight up, and then make it work, ever how you make it work on the money.
It's – oh, man, that's tough. I would lean – no, but it's extremely close. I like Hunter better than Reddish. Reddish hasn't really, you know, he only had 1 year at Duke. He's in his rookie year now. Most rookies are not good players in their first year. I don't know. Like,
I feel like Presti would push for a pick.
Yeah, the Hawks wouldn't do that, though.
No, which is what...
I don't know why the Hawks would want to deal either of those guys for Adams in the first place. So, like, if I'm the Hawks, I probably don't want to do that deal. It gets them unnecessarily older.
They're terrible inside. I mean, they're really bad inside. They get killed on the boards. The Thunder doesn't really hurt people on the boards, but most people kill this team on the boards. They're not very good on defense, and they've got some... You know, people like Reddish and Hunter are going to be good defenders. I think they need to – the thing about Atlanta is they need to solidify and show some people, including fans and Trae Young, that, hey, we this is going to get better. We're not in – we're still not – we're not tearing down. We're building up. I would think if I was Atlanta, I would think I would do the deal.
To get some experience around?
If you'd take Reddish and not Hunter. If you're Atlanta, you'd say, we'll give you Cam Reddish. We won't give you DeAndre Hunter. I think DeAndre Hunter is going to be really good.
But what do you do if you're the Thunder? Like, do you deal Adams for DeAndre Hunter?
I think I might, and everybody knows how I feel about Steven Adams. I mean, everybody knows. But the whole point, if you're going to do a teardown, if you're going to do a big rebuild, DeAndre Hunter is the kind of player you're trying to get in the lottery. I mean, he's a fifth pick. Wouldn't he pick fifth?
Fourth.
I think fourth. He's the fourth pick in the lottery. I mean, what, you think you're holding out for a Zion Williamson or a Kevin Durant? Is that what you're, you know, going to the lottery for? Well, you know, that's a lottery ticket type situation.
And the Thunder's about playing the odds, right? And if you have a guy picked that high, the odds are better that he's going to pan out.
I'm convinced. I think I'm holding this too small of a sample size against DeAndre Hunter just because it's been rough. But he's not in a good situation. The Hawks are all young. There's hardly, other than Trae Young, it's hard to really show what you can do. But I think it's interesting because if you're saying, would the Thunder trade Steven Adams for a future fourth overall pick, it's automatic. Like, they would definitely do that. But once you attach a name to that pick, depending on who it is, it all of a sudden seems a little less valuable. So it would just depend on what they think of Hunter.
I love what you just said, because once you attach a name to a pick, it does become less valuable. And that's the point. I think some people, and I would probably put Sam Presti on this list, overvalue the high lottery picks. Yeah, you hit some home runs. Sometimes you get Durant, Westbrook, and Harden back to back to back. And sometimes you're like the Phoenix Suns or the Sacramento Kings, and you got a whole roster full of lottery picks, and you can't play dead. So good franchises tend to end up with good prospects and good players. really no matter where you pick. And the Thunder's a good franchise. So that's why I'm not as crazy about tearing down and starting over as Presti appears to be. That said, if you're gonna do it, I think Adams for DeAndre Hunter would be a pretty good, especially since you got Nerlens Noel floating around. It's a really good alternative at center.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and you're right. I mean, whoever is writing, you know, trade rumors from here until February 6th, I mean, Adams to the Hawks has definitely been a thing that's been linked. So, interesting hypothetical. I've got another one since we're on this route, and it goes to what you wrote about today after the game about comparing that 2018 draft class. And you know, there's all the Luka trade comparisons because they were obviously linked in the trade. But I think it's an interesting question of who would you rather build a team around in Shea or Trey? If anyone has any thoughts on that.
Yeah, did we talk about this the other day? I would rather Shea because he has a bigger upside on defense, and especially the way that the Thunder plays, they want that. And Trey is obviously a fantastic young player, and he's an all-star already in his second year, but I just think if you're looking at both sides of the ball, Shea has a bigger upside.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I love Trey Young, but he's the kind of player that gets a lot of all-star votes. He's voted to the all-star starting lineup. He's also a guy that so far doesn't really elevate his team much. Didn't do it at Norman North. Didn't do it at OU.
Wait, you're saying you don't like 11 wins?
Yeah. So, and I don't blame him for the Hawks. They're a mess. And when he's dead and buried, they're going to be a mess because that's what the Hawks are. But, you know, I do think there's something to be said for, you know, the trade I debated this on the radio. You know, the guys I share the radio with saying, you know, if Cam Reddish turns into a pretty good player, a really good player, or perhaps even a star, then Atlanta, you know, might win that trade. I said, no way. There's no way Atlanta ever wins that trade.
Wait, which?
Luka Doncic for Trae Young, and, you know, and Atlanta gets a first-round pick. Luka Doncic is an all-timer. I mean, he's – his upside is LeBron James. That's what his upside is. So, you know what you're getting, and the sky's not the limit. The sky, he is the sky. So
the ceiling is the roof.
Yeah. So
say.
Who said? I remember somebody said that. It made no sense.
It was Jordan, wasn't it?
Is that what it was? Yeah.
At North Carolina.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's. I knew somebody. I seen it was Paul George or somebody, but. But no, hey, and I don't even like talking about this because I think Trey Young's a wonderful player. He's just not Luka Doncic, and nobody else is either.
Yeah. Who else is a top three MVP candidate in their second year?
Yeah, and it's not his fault that he became part of this deal. Like, he didn't ask for these comparisons. I mean, the trade was made, and for as much as we pile on the Hawks for this trade, I am more a fan of piling on the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings for drafting DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley over Luka Doncic, because they could have done that, and there would be no need for the trade. So, but Trae Young tonight, he got off to a really rough start. I actually thought I mean, we've talked about his assists. That's, you know, 16 assists is fantastic. Ended up shooting 7 of 20, 2 of 8.
Which isn't very good.
Yeah, not good, but was he like 0 of 6, I think, to miss his first 6 shots?
Missed his first 6.
He recovered okay.
And then shot a 3 to end the drought. But where he really, I mean, he ended with 26 points, which is ridiculous for how poorly he was shooting, especially at the beginning of the game, but a lot of that came at the free throw line.
Yeah, 10 of 12 from the free throw line. And he said in the locker room after the game that all of his routine was kind of messed up for this game. Like, he was doing more stuff because family he was doing more stuff because he was just named an all-star starter yesterday and has had all this attention. And, you know, he's staying late, it sounds like, to maybe go to the OU game here tomorrow against Mississippi State. So this has been a bit of a strange weekend for him and maybe put some pressure on himself. But
and he just missed a game for a right thigh contusion. I don't know how, like, it doesn't sound like it was bugging him, but I don't know if that screwed up his routine either. Also,
here's what's most impressive tonight about Trae Young. He had 16 assists and one turnover. And the Thunder was hounding him pretty good, as evidenced by all the times they fouled him. And he only had one turnover. And this year, he's down to, what is he? Well, he's up. His turnovers are up this year, 4.8 per game, which is fairly high. But just one tonight, so I applaud him. That was, you know, that's some good basketball.
He's also on a team with, like, no other ball handlers. I mean, they had to make that Jeff Teague trade just to get a backup point guard for him, basically. So I think that's why the turnover numbers have been a little high. But, yeah, Lu Dort got the can't have a podcast without mentioning Lu Dort. He got the defensive assignment on Trae Young, got another start, was introduced in the home starting lineup for the first time.
Because Terrence Ferguson is out again for
personal reasons,
which Thunder per policy will not give us any information on what those personal reasons are. Billy Donovan said that he doesn't know when he'll be back, and basically they're trying to respect his privacy and whatever he's going through right now.
It's bad policy. It's way worse to have everybody speculating and trying to figure out what's going on. Terrence Ferguson is a public figure. I'm not saying we deserve the right to know, but everybody wants to know, everybody's interested, and everybody's talking about it. They're way better off just saying whatever's going on. And, you know, we think the worst. Usually the truth ends up being not near as bad as what we think. So,
right, we had two guys have kids last year at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Both Ferg and Westbrook had kids very close to one another, like within days of each other, and just got personal reasons. And it was a whole thing where we're like, we don't know if we should be concerned for these guys, if we should be happy for them, because, you know, personal reasons can mean anything from a really exciting moment, like having your either first child or a pair of twins, or it can be, you know, losing a family member or something on that end of the spectrum. So hopefully it's nothing too bad.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. Ferg is a pretty good player. When he comes back, they'll use him. But Dort's gaining ground on him in terms of their comfort level at throwing him out there. He's guarded Damian Lillard and Trae Young and James Harden and who'd you say the other? Evan Fournier. So, yep. And live to tell about it. So, you know, he's sort of losing a little bit of his ground as the defensive stopper. Not that he's not the best perimeter defender, but that they've actually got a guy that can throw out there and do a decent job.
Well, and Dort's getting ground on Hamidou Diallo.
Yeah, I mean, Matty, you and I talked about this on the last podcast. They've got Ferguson, Dort, and Diallo, all of whom have sort of overlapping skill sets. Ferguson is ahead of both of those guys, other guys, offensively. But if they're all limited offensively and all are playing good defense, it's kind of hard to, like, separate yourself in that bunch.
Hamidou Diallo, this is not the game to start throwing stones at Hamidou Diallo. He played 28 minutes tonight, during which the Thunder outscored Atlanta by 31 points. He's plus 31.
And listen,
here's the deal. It's not like he got a bunch in the fourth quarter, which he probably did. But at halftime, Thunder's only up 8. He and Baisley are plus 7 in the plus minus in limited time. So he did a good job in the first half, making things at least stay afloat.
And he had another great dunk.
He almost had a double-double. Am I looking at this right? Yeah, 9 points and 9 rebounds for Hamidou Diallo.
What do you call it? That's a that's a strong double single, is what that, right? It's a strong double single. Yeah, that's the edge of a double double. You got as close as you can to a double double without and staying a single single. Does it feel like the Thunder plays against Jeff Teague like once a week?
Yeah.
I mean, just like the other day, they played against Jeff Teague, and now there he is playing for somebody else. Playing well, usually.
Maybe they'll make him another trade, and we'll get to see him like seven times this season.
Yeah, and it's all coming a bit of a burst, too, because they had those two games against the Timberwolves, tonight against the Hawks, and now they turn around tomorrow and play the Timberwolves, but no Jeff Teague, so that'll be, you know, a little sad.
Maybe he can go with them and visit.
Yeah, yeah. Go sit on the bench or something, Jeff Teague.
How do we feel like we've thoroughly covered this game? Because we got to talk about All-Star.
Yeah, let's talk about All-Star.
All right. We mentioned Trae Young as for Oklahoma, as in the state's purposes, headliner, with him getting the most votes of any Eastern Conference guard. And so he'll be starting. No Thunder players in that starting lineup, but I think Chris Paul has a pretty good chance of getting voted in by the coaches.
Yeah, it seems like that. And, you know, just some of my favorite people to read, like Zach Lowe and John Hollinger, they've both got Chris Paul on their All-Star teams, and it looks like a lot of people are in that camp. And as far as a coach's selection, I can't imagine coaches not wanting Chris Paul. I mean, he's like the ideal basketball player. So, and just given his pedigree and his Hall of Fame career, I think there's a pretty good chance he's selected.
And coaches tend to have an issue with players whose teams are not doing well, as we've seen the fans do not care as nearly as much about, and his team's overperforming, and a lot of that is because of him.
What I found, Zach Lowe, I'm with you, he's always fun to read. He did his All-Star, and he had Paul on there, and then he had the next guys that just missed the cut, and there were two or three. I forgot who they were. But then he ends up, right, he mentions like 10 other guys. He said that, you know, were candidates and could have been. He mentioned all three of the other guys. He mentioned Gallinari, SGA, and Schroeder as guys. You could consider them for the All-Star team.
Bring them all.
And I thought that was, to me, that was a good sort of a testament to what this Thunder team has done this year, which is they've gotten really good years from their four best players, or if you count Adams, five best players. And, you know, that's what this team needed in the wake of the void of superstars. They actually, I think, do have a superstar. He's a different kind of superstar, Chris Paul. But everybody's just playing really well. Not necessarily their best basketball ever, but not necessarily not, if you know what I mean. So everybody's playing well, and it's gone great. Now they're on a 48-win pace. And the last 3 years, the Thunder, with Russell Westbrook 1 year and Russell Westbrook and Paul George 2 years, won 47, 48, and 49. They lose both of those guys through trades that they sort of had to make, and they're on a 48-win pace. So that's a really strong endorsement of the Thunder Foundation.
Yeah, and if you look at those four guys, Chris Paul is having a way more efficient year shooting the ball than he did last year. Dennis Schroeder is having a career year from an efficiency standpoint. Shea, it's only his second season, but he's made a huge leap from his rookie season. And Gallinari, he's doing about what he did last year, but he was like a near all-star with the Clippers last year.
And
so
that was his best season.
Yeah, so and he's right on pace for that. So and then it's like the perfect perfect time to bring that up tonight, because we talked at the beginning about the balanced scoring. All four of those guys had at least 18 points tonight.
I was about to ask, has anybody ever made the All-Star team when they're the fourth leading scorer on their own team? And the answer is yes, because the Warriors had four All-Stars that 1 year. And so Draymond, I don't even know if he was the fourth. He might have been the fifth leading scorer or sixth. I don't know. But it's pretty rare for a guy averaging 17 points and 6.4 assists to be an All-Star. But it's almost like everybody in America sort of knows, yeah, Chris Paul's out there playing great and leading the team and doing all the things that make for winning basketball.
Yeah, and I thought the funniest part of this All-Star voting was this blog that you did, Maddie, when you found all of their vote totals. And it's not just the stars who are getting votes for All-Stars.
No. It's pretty much everyone. The headliner of those is Andre Roberson, who not only... Fans, congrats, guys, on getting thousands of votes for pretty much all of your Thunder players. Fans in general are notorious for choosing their guys over everyone, no matter what. And Andre Roberson, who is coming up on his 2-year anniversary of that left patellar tendon injury, got 4,863 fan votes for All-Star and one player vote.
Probably from Steven Adams, if I had to make a guess.
The player votes are fun, too. Deontay Burton and Lu Dort both got player votes. Abdul Nader. Mike Muscala also got one.
Everyone on the team got one except Justin Patton.
And...
who is no longer on the team.
And Terrence Ferguson.
Huh. Well... never mind.
Maybe he just wasn't in the locker room when they were all doing it.
They like checked everyone off. You got one. Ferguson wasn't in there to defend himself.
And we should have known after this that Justin Patton was going to be traded.
Yeah, I guess we should just briefly mention that. Justin Patton was traded tonight. The Thunder made it official for Isaiah Roby, who was a 3-year player at Nebraska. He is in the Mavericks organization, did not play for the Mavericks, played, I think, 8 or 9 games in the G League this year for the Texas Legends. So Thunder moves a little bit closer to under the luxury tax threshold, but Justin Patton had a non-guaranteed contract coming up, and Isaiah Roby is fully guaranteed for this year and for next year. So a little bit interesting.
Yeah, to me, that's more of a move where the Thunder's kind of throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, at least with that back end of the roster.
Why would they want a guy who really doesn't play in the NBA on a guaranteed contract next season? Can somebody just tell me that? Is that just to relieve a little bit of luxury tax situation this year? So why trade for a guy who you got to pay no matter what next year? That's the one thing I don't understand.
I'm with you. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen Isaiah Roby play. I did not tune into many Nebraska basketball games, and I hope none of you did either, because it's been very bad. But I don't know. I mean, maybe it's a guy that, you know, he's a mid-second round pick. Maybe it's a guy the Thunder had liked, or I don't know. Maybe you're just taking a chance, like you said.
Yeah, maybe they think that their development team can do something special with him.
Yeah, his like college numbers don't really blow you away. I'm not really sure, but even with this, the Thunder still has one open spot, right? And you know, Lu Dort, we don't know what the count is, but he's, you know, got 45 days, is a two-way player, and I think if he keeps playing like this, at some point he's probably going to be converted into a NBA deal.
Yeah, depending on how many... We talked to Billy Donovan a bit about this pregame. I was asking him, essentially, like, are you counting the days as you're trying to decide whether or not to play Lu Dort? Because he has 45 days with the Thunder allowed on a two-way contract. We don't know how many days he's at. That's another thing that I feel like the league should give us. But they don't. Billy Donovan said that he's not personally keeping track. Someone else in the front office is, and having conversations with him about that. And they've been very understanding of him needing more bodies while they've been short on wings. And so he's been playing. So not much clarity there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Maybe somebody will tell us someday. But I don't expect Isaiah Roby to into the rotation anytime soon. Maybe he can go get a triple-double in the blue game.
It's got to be a long-term project sort of thing. I don't...
Yeah. It's a long-term project, no doubt, but I don't know what. There's plenty of long-term projects that you don't have to have guaranteed money on, so.
Yeah. And
it's not
and
like
cash
they don't
considerations.
Let me tell you what, the Thunder's never short of long-term projects. They never have the bottom half of the roster filled out with 31-year-old journeymen. It's always a bunch of 21-year-olds who we didn't know much about in college and are athletes and trying to figure out how to play basketball.
Well, I think you'll both enjoy this. Someone posted like his – I forgot which site it was from. Sorry about that. But his draft comp on draft night, player comp, and they said a mixture between Andre Robertson and Josh Huestis. So picking two
there we go.
Thunder
two
projects
players.
For a new Thunder project. It was perfect.
Well, there you go. Presti might have seen that tweet or that comp and said, I got to have this guy. I've never seen him play. I'm like everybody else in America. I've never gone to a Nebraska basketball game, but I got to have somebody who's a cross between Huestis and Andre Robertson.
He was drafted in the same spot as Hamidou Diallo, too, if you want to throw in another
hey, how
player
about that?
There.
45. Something about those 45th picks. You know what? If he turns out to be Hamidou Diallo, they'll
great.
Probably be pretty happy with that. But it's a bit of a road, it seems. I'm sorry for turning the All-Star talk into a guy that, I mean, sorry to Isaiah Roby, but not many people know him yet.
We'll get to know him.
Rough transition.
In the future. Yeah, other than that, I mean, if in the next few weeks we'll find out both reserves and then who's filling out all the other events for All-Star. So, I mean, you'd have to imagine that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is probably going to be competing for one of those futures spots.
Mm-hmm.
Hamidou Diallo, as Joe reported, is still trying to figure out his health before committing to the dunk contest. Trae Young was asked about this tonight, about whether he'd be competing in something else, and he avoided and said that there'll be announcements coming up, so you'd have to imagine, yes.
What about Danilo Gallinari in the three-point contest? I don't know if he's ever done it. I don't think he has, but could be interesting.
Yeah.
He always wins those shooting contests in practice
that
are basically set up to where the ball racks are in the three-point contest.
You should do it.
By the way, this is no reporting at all. I'm just throwing it out
also,
there blindly.
Abdul Nader has beat him at least once, so get him in there.
It seems like the three-point contest would be something that you'd sort of enjoy doing. I also think if I'm Danilo Gallinari, where they get now 7 days off or
I'm
six.
I'm sure he's going to want to rest.
Yeah, and maybe get on a plane to Italy is might what I want to do.
Yeah.
I might want to do that even if I wasn't from Italy itself. So do I want to go to Chicago in February, shoot a bunch of balls off the rack, or do I want to go to Naples and Venice? I think that's an easy choice.
I agree. If I had the choice, I would also pick Naples and Venice, but unfortunately I don't have the choice.
I love Chicago. I realize
I love Chicago too.
But in this,
but
summer.
Let me tell you what, I'm not sure it's so great in January and February. I mean, the first time I went to Chicago by air, 1985, I flew from New Jersey to Seattle with a stopover in Chicago, and let
great
me tell
cities.
You what, it looked like the frozen tundra. Lake Michigan was iced over flying in. The whole city looked like it just Mr. Freeze had come through town. I don't know that it's the greatest. I don't know that it's the greatest All-Star. That'll play the baseball All-Star game in Chicago every year, not ever the NBA All-Star game.
Can get real hot in the summer, though. Real humid.
Yeah. I'm still probably going with Italy, but who knows? Still time to change my mind.
Yeah, I think that does it for All-Star talk. Unless we want to talk about another random person that the Thunder might
I have no random people to throw out. No obvious transition right now.
All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in to this Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, your pets, your other loved ones, and your Sooners fans, since we have done a fair amount of Trae Young talk today.
A lot of Trae Young coverage, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, OSU fans. Get someone voted into All-Star starters?
Oh, man.
Yeah, get voted on the All-Star game and having attended Norman North. You know, Marcus Smart's a great player, but he's never been an All-Star. And he didn't go to Norman North. So Trae Young is a unique
hometown kid.
Hometown kid who stuck around for college and then made the All-Star team inside of 2 years. So I think he deserves. And it's starting. So, and has the Miami Heat outraged because Jimmy Butler's not starting. So even more kudos for Trae Young.
I have another All-Star thing. I don't know who decides the front court, back court designations, but there were some head scratchers. On the Thunder, Abdul Nader is qualified as front court, which is fine, except for that Deontay Burton was named as a back court player.
That makes no sense.
If anything, swap them.
Yeah, I mean, when those guys are playing, they're basically playing the same spot.
So that's really not a big deal since they're not going to get into the All-Star game. But the one that did matter was Jimmy Butler being a front court player. Because if he was a back court player, he would be an All-Star starter.
Don't get me started on the All-Star stuff. Here's the deal.
Yes.
Is the West playing the East?
No.
No. So why are... Do you have to have 12 from the East and 12 from the West? The whole thing is flawed, much less this front court, back court nonsense.
It'd be super awkward if there were like two from the East.
Well, it would also be quite accurate, maybe. I mean, it's just that's life in the fast lane. Now, if you want to play East versus West, okay, strap it up, let's go. But they don't want to do that, so.
I like the draft system. It's fun.
As long as I don't have to watch the draft or watch the game, I'm okay with it.
The draft came up with my favorite Giannis quote ever.
What did he say?
LeBron kept trying to – he kept drafting people who, you know, maybe we're going to be free agents soon.
No.
And Giannis goes, isn't that tampering?
Well, there you go.
And it's them again this year. So.
Yeah, I'm not too hip – Here's the deal. I might have to watch the All-Star game just because of Chris Paul, see what happens. It's been much worse TV in recent years because of the Westbrook Durant soap opera. We don't even have that this year. So I don't know what I can do that Sunday night to fill my time.
Maybe Durant will be sitting courtside or something.
Wouldn't surprise me. He'll have his phone out. Now, that's the only thing I can tell you he'll be doing.
With Perk.
Cool. Perk loves tweeting about the Thunder. Not to add on to this, but like after every game, Perk has like, he's like writing his own gamer after Thunder.
Well,
games.
He's had two who says no things. Let's see. Steven Adams for Andre Drummond.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible.
And he said, who says no?
The Thunder says no.
But then he had Steven Adams for Gordon Hayward, which is actually sort of something to think about. Interesting. I still think the Thunder says no because they'd rather have a younger guy.
Yeah. You'd rather, like DeAndre Hunter. Like you'd rather have Hunter than Hayward.
But it's still interesting. It's an interest. Kendrick Perkins is an interesting guy. He's an interesting fella. I've always said so.
All right, now we're wrapping up for real. Your friends, your enemies, your neighbors, and we will see you tomorrow after Thunder plays the Timberwolves.